All right, how's everybody today? Good, good. I want to give a huge welcome to everybody who's here today. Thanks for all of you who are here for the first time. It's awesome to see you. We're glad you're here, and we hope that you experience exactly what's on the banners, a caring place where God transforms lives, genuineness. Christianity is a matter of the heart. Well, it is awesome to see all of you this morning, and we are in a series right now in the book of 2 Timothy. So if you're just joining us, to catch you up really quick, the book of 2 Timothy in the Bible is a letter written by a man, the Apostle Paul, who's writing from a prison cell. He is about to suffer and to die for his faith in Jesus Christ. And he is writing to a young pastor, a young man named Timothy, his protege. And he's encouraging Timothy, and he's encouraging all of us to not be ashamed about what we believe, but to live fearlessly for Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. So that is the book of 2 Timothy. We are in our second week in this series. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. So if you have a Bible, if you have a smartphone or a tablet, go ahead and open up to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're in the NIV. If that says anything or means anything, go ahead and open up the NIV. We're just glad you're here. Well, every week, our church takes a group of people to a host site for the Global Leadership Summit. The Global Leadership Summit is one of the premier leadership conferences for leaders around the world. In fact, 400 leaders from around the globe attended this leadership summit through host sites. This Global Leadership Summit was founded by a guy named Bill Hybels. He's the pastor at Willow Creek, very big church. Some of us got to go to this Global Leadership Summit a few weeks ago. And for those of you who did, you'll remember Bill Hybels opened up the Leadership Summit with a story about a time when he was in elementary school, and he decided to play a prank on his substitute teacher. Nobody in this room would ever play a prank on a substitute teacher, right? We're all Christians here. Of course not. Anyways, he tells a story about this prank where at 3 o'clock one afternoon, substitute teacher's writing on the board. He gets his entire class to open their desks and to slam them closed while the teacher's writing, you know. Of course, the teacher jumps, she screams. It's this loud, you know, explosion of sound. All the kids start laughing, and then the teacher says, whose idea was this? Of course, everybody points at Bill Hybels. He gets in trouble. Substitute teacher calls him to her desk, and this is what he had mentioned at the conference. He said, this is what the teacher said to him. Teacher said, "Billy, enlisting your entire class to join you in this prank was no small feat. And you did this as a 10-year-old. I think you're going to be quite a leader. I only hope you use your influence for good." And he says that day, a seed of leadership was planted in his heart. Never thought of himself as a leader. And all of a sudden, somebody said, "Oh, you could be a leader." I couldn't help but think about, this was before Jesus, okay, before Christ. Couldn't help but think of a prank that I had played on my teacher back in elementary school when I was about the same age. It's the day before April Fool's Day, and we had a substitute teacher. We were talking about pranks. Everybody's sharing their ideas, and the substitute teacher says, "Oh, I heard of a prank. One time there was a class, and everybody in the class got up and ran out of the school." I don't know if you know me, but I can be kind of ornery. Next day, April Fool's Day, teacher comes back to school. I have the perfect idea for a prank. So I begin to tell my friends, "Okay, everybody at 1 o'clock when the bell rings, we're going to get up and we're running out of this school. The whole class is just going to get up, run out of the school. The bell rings, 1 o'clock. Everybody in the class gets up, takes off out of the classroom, down the halls. I'm running as fast as I can. By the way, there are teachers, adults, trying to round up the kids to stop them from running out the doors of the school. I look back. I'm running as fast as I can. And I see a teacher like, no, stopping kids. I don't know what to do. So I run even faster, right out the door of the school, right out the doors, right out to the playground, schoolyard. And I look around. Freedom! So pumped. And then I realized I had two pretty bad choices before me. I could either keep running and begin a new life under a fake name, or I could walk back in to the principal's office and turn myself in. So, of course, I made the long walk back to the principal's office. And there in that office was my entire class. I walked in, and they said, that's the one. It was his idea. There's the leader. And the seed of leadership was planted in my heart. I want to talk to you guys about leadership today. And I want to plant a seed of leadership in your heart. Do you believe today that you can be a leader in this world for Jesus Christ? Some of you had a moment like that. You can think back in your own life about a time when someone believed in you, planted a seed of leadership in your heart. And say you are a leader. You're the person that somebody, people are looking to. Maybe you're a mom or a dad, or maybe you're manage, or maybe you're a leader of a company. And that's awesome. There are wannabe leaders out there. Ever met one of those? They think they're the leader, no one follows them. There's a saying, if you think you're a leader and no one's following you, you're just out taking a walk. You guys heard that? But for all the leaders and wannabe leaders, there are so many more in this room today who would say, I'm not a leader. Maybe you're 15 years old, 18, 22, 82. Do you believe that you can make a difference in this world today for Jesus Christ? What is leadership? John Maxwell, who's a leadership expert, he says, leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. Do you have the opportunity every day to influence some people? Absolutely. Everyone in this room has an opportunity to make a positive difference in somebody's life today. You have an opportunity to influence somebody. I don't care if you're 12 years old, or 22, or 42, 62, whatever. We all have opportunities to lead every single day. And that's even more true for us as followers of Jesus. And if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, do you know what Jesus says about his followers? He says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And so every day you have an opportunity to live as light in your home, in your workplace, on your sports team, here at Hope Community Church, in your neighborhood. There is an influence in your life that flows from your relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Do you believe that? There's an influence in your life that is flowing from your relationship with Jesus Christ to the people around you. You are the light of the world. So not only can you lead, I believe that you were designed to lead. What we want to do today, we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy 2. Remember, this is a letter from an older pastor to a younger pastor. This is a book, 2 Timothy, about Christian leadership and what it looks like to lead now. So I want to invite everybody in this room today to raise their level of influence and leadership for Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at the Apostle Paul, who's one of the greatest leaders for Christ in the history of the world. And he's going to begin to show us how. So that's what we got today. I'm going to pray, then we're going to dive into 2 Timothy chapter 2. God, thanks for everyone who's here today. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for bringing us to this place. I don't believe that anyone is here today by accident. We thank you for those lives that we have an opportunity to touch every single day, whether it's our kids or a neighbor or coworkers, whoever that might be. God, we pray that you would empower us today to live as leaders and as difference makers in the world today. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just a couple of quick points. I'll be out of your way. First one, all of us, every one of you in this room, doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, all of us can raise our level of influence and leadership for Jesus Christ in this world. And the very first person that I want to ask you to lead today is yourself. I remember when I came last December and I interviewed for this position at Hope Community Church. It was a Saturday morning. We were in that conference room with all of the elders and they were interviewing me. And when they were done, they gave me and my wife an opportunity to interview them. Which, by the way, if you're ever in an interview, let them interview you and then you need to interview them. So I'm asking questions. And one of the questions I asked of the elders as they were interviewing me, I asked them, what will be my greatest challenge as a leader here at Hope Community Church? And I had no idea. I mean, I'm interviewing them. So I'm like thinking, okay, maybe it's staff issues. I don't know. Maybe it's finances. I have no idea. Maybe people are resistant to change. Well, none of those things are true. I had no idea what anyone was going to say. I was just like, what's going to be my greatest challenge? What am I walking into? And I love Dom because he didn't even have to think twice. He said, the greatest challenge that you are going to face as a leader here is yourself. And that's true. The greatest challenge you're going to face as a mom or a dad, the greatest challenge you're going to face as a manager, the greatest challenge you're going to face as a leader in this world is honestly yourself and leading yourself. And so 2 Timothy 2 starts with this amazing statement of self-leadership. 2 Timothy 2:1, you then, this is Paul to Timothy, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This word grace is so important. Everything God has for you comes by grace. It is his gift to you. Christianity is not a religion that is based on your performance. It is a faith that is based on grace. And a relationship with God is a free gift. The love of God, forgiveness. It's all his gift to you that is received by grace. So our first step as a leader, receive everything God has for us and to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Well, what difference does that make? If you lead out of performance, some of you have experienced this. If you lead out of performance, that is going to be death to you, and that's going to be death to everyone around you, isn't it? You ever experienced that? A leader who's leading out of performance? Nobody can measure up. We don't want to lead like that. We want to lead out of grace. What does that mean, to lead out of grace? It means you don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to prove your value as a leader because Jesus has already proved that by giving his life for you on the cross. You don't have to pretend to be perfect. You can admit your mistakes because nobody's perfect. And so we're leading from a place of grace and not performance. And when you do that, that's going to be life to you. It's going to be life to everyone around you. See, it matters how you lead yourself. And it starts, the first person you can lead is yourself. Be strong in the grace. Receive everything God has for you. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And as you lead yourself well, God is going to give you opportunities to lead others. And that's what we see in the verses that follow. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Look what Paul says to Timothy. And these things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. I'm going to unravel that a little bit here, because in this verse, you see four generations of leaders. I would love to see four generations of leadership in our church. You have, let's go to the next slide. Four generations. The first generation is Paul. These things you've heard from me, that is Paul. The things you, that's Timothy. So Paul is the first generation. He instructs Timothy. Then it says, what you've heard me say, entrust to reliable people. That's a third generation. And then those reliable people are going to be qualified to teach others. Wow, four generations of leaders. That's awesome. That's what I want to see at Hope Community Church, is generations of leaders. And what I love about this scripture is that it invites all of us to raise our level of leadership and to find ourselves in this story. And I believe that any one of us can begin to raise our level of leadership. I've got four levels for you. Level one, lead yourself. So maybe this is the level that God is calling you to leadership right now, is just simply to lead yourself. Let me be honest with you. Apart from the grace of God, I don't lead myself very well. Apart from the grace of God, I'm guessing that many of us in this room don't lead ourselves very well. So really, the first step of leadership is to surrender your life to God and allow God to take control and to give God the leadership of our life and to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's level one, lead yourself. Leading yourself well, begin to lead others. Who can you begin to pour into? Is it a son or a daughter, a grandchild? Maybe you're going to begin to lead your family better. We're going to pray together. We're going to read scripture together. We're going to talk about some things that are hard to talk about. Or maybe you're going to begin to lead others. Maybe you join a ministry team here at Hope. Oh, I need to invest in the next generation. Sign me up for being on the youth ministry team or the children's ministry team. Or maybe it's meeting somebody for coffee at Starbucks, which I love. There's an open invitation right now. But begin to pour into somebody. Invest in others. Lead others. Lead others on your college campus. Lead others on your sports team. Lead others in your workplace. Lead others here in this community. Lead yourself. Lead others. Third, lead leaders. There's another level of influence. We have some awesome leaders at this church. Godly leaders. It's one of the reasons why I love this church, is because there is a heart for leadership in this church. But what we need is we need every leader in this church to begin raising up leaders around them. That is level three leadership. Whether it's in our youth ministry, in your Bible study, in a children's ministry, creative team, whatever it is, begin to lead leaders around you. And I want to ask every leader in this church to begin to raise up and empower a future generation of leaders. That's what God's inviting us to today, to lead ourselves, to lead others, and then raise it up, begin to lead leaders. Who can you bring along with you? Who can you empower to lead that Bible study? Who can you empower to lead that small group or lead that team? Lead leaders. Last one, lead a legacy. And I really believe that there are some people here today, the originals, I like to call them. The originals, yes! They're nodding their heads. Come on, the originals. Love you guys. And God's inviting you to lead a legacy, to leave a legacy of leadership in this church, and I believe you are, and I see it taking place, a legacy of leaders, not only here at Hope, but all around this nation, who are going to continue to impact the world for Jesus Christ for generations to come. Dom and Linda aren't here today, so I can talk about them. Otherwise, Dom would hate me. It's their 40th anniversary. He's leading a legacy of leadership here among many of the other originals. But it's their anniversary. So if you have Dom or Linda's number, let's all text them. I'd love for them to get 100 texts. Hey, happy anniversary. Thanks for the legacy of leadership. Text them today. Bless them. Here it is. God is inviting every one of us to raise our level of leadership and influence, not just for ourselves, but for Jesus Christ in this world. So look at this list. Where is God calling you to lead today? God's inviting me to lead. Who is it? Myself, others, leaders, legacy, whatever that is. Commit to that right now. Commit to that this morning. Let's raise our level of leadership in this world for Jesus Christ. Okay, so what is that going to look like? How do we do that? How do I begin to reach my friend who's not a Christian? How do I reach my neighbor who's not a Christian? How do I inspire my children to love Jesus, to love church? How do I reach my marching band for Christ? How do I reach my campus for Christ? What does that look like? We're going to go back into 2 Timothy. I see three things. We could say a lot about how to raise your level of influence in just in the world in general. But I see three things in this passage. I see determination, I see passion, and I see voice. And that's what I want to share with you today. I believe that's what Paul had. I believe that's what he passed on to Timothy. And I believe that's what God wants for us. As we raise our level of influence, to come determination with passion and voice. Let's start with the first one, determination. That's 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 7. So you can do determination if you're taking notes. 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 7, verses 3 through 7. This is what Paul says to Timothy. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. I love that. He doesn't even really tell you what he's saying. He's just like, yeah, go ahead and reflect on that. And because of time, that's kind of what we have to do today. I want you to think about this for just a quick second. What is he saying with, because we all know, some of you guys, you know what it means to be a soldier. Some of you, you know what it means, what it takes to be an athlete. Some of you know what it takes to be a farmer. Angie's grandpa was a farmer, so we know what that takes. I believe this is, as we reflect on this, I think this is, what is the thing behind a soldier or an athlete or a farmer? Is it not determination, grit, perseverance? So God is inviting every one of us today to have a determination to follow Jesus Christ. No matter what the cost, no matter what the temptation, no matter what anybody else would say, I am going to follow Jesus Christ. There's a determination in that, a grit. Arrgh. Not going to quit. Not going to give up. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. And I am determined to obey God and his direction for my life. I'm determined. When people around you see that determination, and your kids see the determination, I'm getting my kids to church. I'm getting them to youth group. I'm determined to take a day of rest. I'm determined to honor God in my finances. I'm determined that I'm not cutting a corner at work. I'm determined to honor God in everything I do. When people see that determination, you're going to begin to be a powerful influence in the lives of people around you. Grit, determination of following Jesus Christ. Determination raises your level of influence. Number two, passion. Come on, we got to be passionate, right? Passion for Jesus, passion for the gospel. Here's the scriptures for that. You can mark this down. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8 through 13. That's passion. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, remember that, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. He's writing from prison. But check it out. God's word is not chained. Lock me up, but you can't lock up my Jesus. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain salvation that is in Jesus Christ. Oh, we want to see more and more people experience that with eternal glory. Here's a trustworthy saying. I love this. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. But if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Does Paul have a passion for Jesus Christ and the gospel? Oh, yeah. Remember Christ Jesus, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I'm suffering. Do you know that the word passion comes from the root word passio, which means to suffer? So we have the passion of the Christ. What is that? The suffering of the Christ. How do you know if something's a passion? Because you'll sacrifice for it. You'll risk everything for it. You'll even suffer for it. I'm going to watch the Broncos on Sunday afternoon. I will count the cost, whatever it takes, baby. I'm there. Passion. I was thinking I'd try to throw the Eagles in, but I'm not ready yet. All right? So you all have different teams. It's too fresh. Come on, if you're willing to suffer for something, there's a passion there. But if not, it's just a hobby. Why am I so passionate about Jesus? Why are we so pumped up that Jesus died and rose from the dead? Isn't it because the very moment that we invited Christ into our life, that everything changed, our old life died with him, and in that moment, something came alive? If you die with him, you will also live with him. There is a powerful moment of transformation that takes place in your heart and in your life when you invite Jesus in. And let me tell you, at 17 years old, God came into my life. And God saved my life. And I know for some of you, you think about the direction your life was headed. And from the moment you invited God into your heart and into your life, God came in. And God saved your life. And if you haven't done that today, don't wait. Man, the very best thing you could do right now is to invite God into your heart and into your life. He'll forgive your sins, set you free, heals the brokenhearted, breaks the chains of addiction. Healing, God's presence in your life in a moment. God saved us. So are we passionate about Jesus? Oh, yeah. What he's done in my life, what he's done in your life, passion. The thing about passion is it's contagious. Passion is contagious. And if you come with determination and passion for Christ, you're going to begin to influence people around you. And they're going to go, what is it? Why are you so passionate about Christ? Let me tell you. Determination, passion, last one, voice. Raise your level of influence and leadership. 2 Timothy 2, verse 14 through 26. Apologize, there's a lot here, so just bear with me. But for voice, you can write 2 Timothy 2, verse 14 through 26. Let me read this, and then I'll summarize it, and we can wrap this up. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter, the common, will be instruments for God's special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee from the evil desires of youth, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Right there, he just described Facebook. Sorry. Just like, whoa. I think I saw that on my newsfeed. Because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Now, there's a lot there, and I want to summarize this because we don't have a lot of time. But as this chapter closes, it closes with two voices. There are two voices in this passage, and there are two voices in the world. And every one of us gets to choose our voice. The voice we bring to our family, to our children. The voice we bring to our workplace. You get to choose your voice. Your voice on social media. What's your voice? So you see one voice in this passage. It's a voice that is quarreling about words, fighting about words. It says it ruins those who listen. It's no value. It's the nitpicking that wears everyone out. It's the stupid arguments. It's pointless conversations. Words designed to pick a fight. Is that your voice? Is that the voice you want for the world around you? A voice that is fighting over words? I see two voices in this passage, two voices in the world. And there is a voice that severs. There's a voice that severs relationships. And there is a voice that serves. There's a voice that serves relationships and honors God. And that's the other voice that we see in this passage. And by the way, that is the voice of a leader. That is the voice of a person of influence. It is a voice that serves, not a voice that severs. So this passage says we cleanse ourselves from all of that. We cleanse ourselves from the voices that sever. And we become an instrument for God's special purpose. And that's what I believe that you are. And that's what I believe God is calling you today. To be an instrument for God's special purpose. Holy and useful. This is a voice that knows God's word and speaks God's word. The old American King James, study to show yourself approved to God. You want to study the scriptures. A workman that needs not to be ashamed rightly dividing the word of truth? A leader knows this, knows God's word. A leader knows the truth and can speak it with genuineness and encouragement. It's a voice that serves. It's a voice in verse 24 that's kind to everyone. It's able to teach, not resentful. Gently instructing. I believe that's a voice of a leader. I believe that's a voice that serves. So I want to close with this. Just wrap everything up. With this picture that's always stuck in my heart. Maybe you've heard it before. But I want to ask you to raise your level of leadership and influence in the world for Christ. And a picture that's always stuck with me that brings us all together. I just want to ask you, are you going to be a thermostat, a thermometer, or a thermostat? What's the difference between the two? You want to be a thermometer or a thermostat? What's a thermometer? That's the thing you stick in your mouth. And a thermometer will always adjust to the temperature around it. So you stick it into your mouth and it adjusts to the temperature of your mouth. And when that temperature isn't hot enough to get you out of school, you can stick that thermometer in hot water and it will adjust to the temperature of the hot water, right? So it's always adjusting to the temperature around it. That's a thermometer. What's a thermostat? That's the thing on the wall that you turn and it sets the temperature of the room. Thermostat doesn't adjust, it sets. Followers of Jesus, let's be the ones that set the temperature of the room. We don't want to be thermometers. Oh, I'm with my Christian friends, I'm a Christian, I'm with my non-Christian friends, oh, not a Christian. None of that. We're not thermometers. We are thermostats. And wherever you go, you set the temperature. This is an invitation today to raise our level of leadership and influence for Christ. Determination, passion, and voice. We're going to come to the table. We're going to close with communion. This is an awesome time to remember Jesus and the grace that he's given us and the cross where he died and the life that he gives. I want to invite you to take a moment as we share this meal together to remember Jesus and his determination to save your life. I want you to remember his passion and suffering on the cross for our sins. And I want you to remember his voice still speaking to us today. So God, would you make us people of influence, leaders, wherever we go. We pray that you would lead our life. Thank you that you're good. Thank you that you love us. Would you take control? Strengthen us with your grace this morning as we take this communion. I want to invite the ushers to come forward.